In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All the things that were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Wow, Father, we are amazed. Lord, we are totally amazed that You came to earth to be with us. You didn't come to condemn us. You came to love us. You came to save us from our sins. And we come here tonight with that understanding, and we are here to celebrate on this special night as we celebrate the light that has penetrated the darkness. Not just the darkness of this world, but the darkness of our own lives. You have shined the light on us. We love You, Lord, and we love one another. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for helping us tonight. Welcome for those who are in person and those who are joining us live stream. We're just glad that you've taken time to be with us tonight. We just want to review with you. We're going to light the Advent candles this evening. And if you'll remember, if you've been with us, you'll see that four of the candles are already burning. We started, it doesn't seem that long ago, but over a month ago, we lit the first candle. It was the candle of hope. We've been lighting these candles through the eyes of the pandemic. And so those who lit the candle shared with us their stories. Robert started us out talking about what it's like to be unemployed during a pandemic and how hard it is to find a job. And then, of course, we had a couple share with us. Cheyenne and Nate shared about planning a wedding during the pandemic and how hard that was. It was on and it was off and it was on and it was off. But we finally got to celebrate with them for their special day when they committed their love to one another. And then the second candle we lit was the candle of love. And my wife and I had the privilege to light that candle because this year is our 50th wedding anniversary. And we had great plans, and they all got canceled. I made plans. I was a good husband. I booked a cruise. Nope, don't get to do it. But we discovered that our love for one another is bigger than a cruise. All right? It's a lifetime, not just a few days on a beautiful ship. And so, praise the Lord. And God's love is like that, too. Nothing can separate us from His love. Then we opened that third gift and lit the third candle. It's that pink candle there. That's the candle of joy. We've kind of become friends with that candle, haven't we, over the last 6 months as we've looked at joy. Remember, joy is a delight in God that is not affected by pain or by pleasure. And so we lit that candle, that joy candle, and how glorious that was, right, to light that candle and to celebrate together. And we heard from another young couple in our church that got married twice because of the pandemic. They got married the first time with a handful of people, and then they got married again for the big wedding, all right? And then they announced to us on that Sunday that they're expecting. And so they had good cause to be full of joy, right? Great news, good news. We learned about the good news that brings great joy. And then last Sunday, we lit the fourth candle, which is the candle of what? The candle of peace. That's right. And we heard from family members in our church that have actually had to deal with the COVID virus and had to be isolated and had to work their way through the virus and came out on top. And we heard from Linda, and that was a glorious testimony. And then we heard from the Smith family. Their whole family had to go through it. So hopefully next year our candles will be lit from another perspective, but we lit the candles right where we're standing in the days we're living in, and we found out all four of these gifts are relevant to us. And I hope that you've unpacked them, and that you don't just unpack them, but you experience them in your own life. Well, now we've worked up to this last candle. It's the center candle. It's the Christ candle. And we always like to invite our children to come and light that candle. And so we're going to ask Mike and Daniel to come up. Daniel and Mike Shoemaker, you're going to come up, and they're going to share a little scripture with us and light the candle. Okay, introduce yourself so everybody knows who's who.
My name is Michael Shoemaker.
What's your
name? My name is Daniel Shoemaker.
All right. And you're going to light the most special candle of all, and all these other candles circle this candle. That's right. It's the Jesus candle, the Christ candle. The shepherds came and they declared to the shepherds that Jesus was going to be born, the Savior, Christ, our Messiah, and Lord, God, Emmanuel with us. And that's what we celebrate tonight. And I think you have some scriptures to read for us.
John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:14.
Right, thank you. You never know what to expect. You just show up, right? Glory to God. Thank you, boys. We appreciate that so much. Well, now we're going to move to the next part of our service, and we have a special presentation to make. And it's about letter writing. Now, we know a lot about the Christmas story. There's a lot we know, but you know, there's a lot we don't know. We don't know a lot about Mary's family. But I can imagine, if you can imagine with me, what it might have been like to have to tell your parents that your engagement is still on, but you're expecting. But the person you're engaged to is not the father of the baby. In fact, the baby's from the Holy Spirit. And how many moms and dads are just going to be overjoyed about that news, right? We don't know what that was like to tell her parents about this news. And so we can only imagine, if they were writing letters to one another, it might have went something like this.
My dearest daughter, I know I haven't written in a while, but the neighbor's little girl brought us a loaf of bread this morning, and it reminded me of something. Do you remember that day you decided to help your mother make dinner? You couldn't have been more than 5. Your mother was next door visiting the neighbors when you decided it was time to make dinner. It's a wonder you didn't burn the house down cooking that bread. I got home just in time to see you covered in flour, pulling a perfectly cooked loaf of bread out of the oven. That wouldn't have been the last time you astounded your dear Papa.
Dear Papa, your grandson is taking a nap, and my better half is at the shop. He always seems to be at the shop, since his skills are in such high demand. But I thought I would take a moment to write. I think of you every day about this time. It's when you always came home for lunch. I remember running at you, full tilt, when you came through the door, calling out, "Where's my little girl?"
My little girl is quite a good cook, I would tell people. I was always so eager to talk about you, to brag on how smart and hardworking you were. We used to be so close. You were Daddy's little girl for so long. That's why I don't understand how you could let this happen. When I looked toward your future, I had such high hopes.
I had such high hopes. when the messenger came from home. But no, still just Mama's name at the end. I've kept every letter you two have ever written me. I wish you would write more and not make Mama do it all. But I guess that's part of what happens when your father's convinced that you've disgraced our family name.
Our family name has taken quite a hit by what I now call is your situation. I can barely show my face at the synagogue anymore. I think it would be better if you at least admitted you'd done something wrong and that husband of yours. I refuse to call him my son-in-law. He had us fooled. Seemed like a man with such potential, a future. But now he's fallen in line with your ridiculous story. I can't imagine why
you think I would have lied about this. Don't you think I know how ridiculous this sounds? Of course I do. I don't blame you for having doubts. But to flat out accuse me of lying, I thought you respected me more than that. Of all the childish things I may have done, I never once lied to either you or Mother. I know Mama has her doubts as well, but at least she's doing what I asked and waiting it out. Why can't you
see things through my eyes? I told your mother that this is a time for tough love. We can't let you get away with these things, these outrageous stories, playing us for fools. If you want to live in as an adult, we must hold you to adult standards and not to accept this kind of foolishness.
Foolishness! That's what you called it! You looked right in my eyes and called it foolishness. That's what bothers
what
me most.
What bothers me the most, I think, is I think you're fooling yourself. When I looked into your eyes, I didn't see deception. Fear, maybe. Some confusion. Something that resembled excitement. But not deception. Have you really convinced yourself that this is true?
This is true. I know it is, no matter who doubts me.
You gave birth to the Messiah? My daughter?
Me.
No, the Messiah would not have come in this way.
It was unexpected, but it's thrilling.
Nonsensical.
And exciting,
it's blasphemous
amazing,
and ridiculous and unbelievable
and terrifying.
I'm frightened for you, my daughter. My Mary.
Papa, come visit and look in my eyes again. You have to know I would not invent a story like this.
If it is true.
This is true, Papa.
If it is true, then nothing is of what we expected. Nothing's what we planned.
I can't explain it, Papa. I can't tell you how it's all going to work out, but this changes everything. It does, Papa. The God you have served so faithfully all your life is doing a new thing, and you get a front row seat. I don't want you to miss this.
But if the Messiah is not a conqueror, if that is different, then I have a suspicion that this road will not be an easy one for you or your child.
I know that this won't be easy, Papa. But Joseph is beside me, and God is leading us.
Joseph. He really does believe you, doesn't he?
He does, Papa. He does have an advantage, though. God sent him an angel, too.
Would it have been too much to ask that you send one for me, too?
Papa.
Daughter.
Please don't miss out. You've prayed all your life for the Messiah. You've taught me to expect the unexpected from our fathers, or for the God of our fathers. You've instructed me in the faith of our fathers. All I'm asking is that you look to the heavens and ask for God to give you faith in this plan you weren't expecting. Trust me.
My daughter, the mother of the Messiah, can it really be true?
Yes, Papa.
Yes, Mary.
We've had plenty of guests since the baby came. Shepherds, and some very wise men from far away even. I've had lots to ponder, and Joseph has been so wonderful. But Papa, I want you to see him, our little baby Jesus.
Jesus? You named the baby God saves.
Yes, Papa. It's the name the angels gave us.
Jesus, my daughter's baby.
Yes, Papa.
Jesus, the Messiah?
Yes, Papa.
So I suppose I must accept that after all these prayers and all these years...
Papa, we should be celebrating because
God is with us.
With all my love,
and with newly opened eyes, your Papa.
Your devoted daughter.
Anna, put some stuff together. We're going to go see our grandson.
Joseph, you're home just in time. Mom and Papa are coming for a visit.
Praise the Lord. Wow. Well, that was good, wasn't it? Might have been like that. Who knows for sure? We'll hear about it when we get to heaven, I'm sure. But I was thinking as I was wanting to share just a brief thought. It says a Christmas Eve reflection. That means short, doesn't it? So I just want to give you a couple thoughts. As I was thinking about this season that we're in and how unusual it is, right? What's the word we use? Unprecedented, right? But in reality, it really isn't unprecedented. In fact, I was making a list of some words that came to my mind. See if you agree with this. When I think about this time, this season, how about the words fear, frustration, plans altered, family separation? Anybody experience that? How about family division? How about government mandates? Lack of control, confusion, uncertainty. Yeah, unprecedented. However, when I thought about the Christmas story and I thought about Mary and Joseph, I realized they would identify with all those words. For all those things were true in their story. And they're actually going to model for us in this story how we can respond in a time like this. There were three things that they trusted in. And we can trust in them as well. They trusted in God's timing. They trusted in the Word of God. And they trusted in the power of God. So I want to just read the Christmas story to you, just that simple, and see if you can identify those three things as they occur both in Joseph's life and in Mary's life. For they are modeling for us how we are to respond when we are in a situation where everything's upside down. Let's start with Mary because she was the first, wasn't she? In Luke, the first chapter, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Right away, we see the first thing they trusted in, and that's God's timing. Because as we'll see, the angel even quotes from the Old Testament, from the book of Micah, a prophecy that was written hundreds of years before Jesus ever came. And all the pieces were being put together perfectly. I'm sure they didn't understand at the time, but they would come to understand that this was not, God wasn't just shooting from the hip, but there was a plan that was instituted from the foundations of the earth. This birth was so well planned that even the town, the city, was named by the prophets. This angel showed up to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now you have to understand, in that day and age, when you were betrothed or engaged, it was the same as being married. You just weren't together. And there was this betrothal time. And if you wanted to break the engagement, you had to get a divorce. So they were deeply committed to one another. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now, we're so used to these words, we might not quite understand how Mary might have thought at this moment. Remember, it had been 400 years of silence. No prophets, no angels. Now all of a sudden, everything is set into motion. And these words, even though she had never heard them before spoken to her, she knew what they meant. She knew the Old Testament. She knew about the past. She knew about Mount Sinai. She knew that when God's glory showed up there, there was fire and wind and lightning and thunder. She knew about the tabernacle in the wilderness, that in the Holy of Holies, where the glory was, when the priest went in, they had to tie a rope on his leg in case he died while he was in there. She knew that. She knew about Isaiah in the temple. And when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. I mean, that Isaiah was undone by what he saw. He melted in his heart. They understood. She understood. Well, wait a minute. This glory could be a dangerous thing. And here the angel saying, "This glory is going to rest upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you." I think her question might have been, "Can I survive it?" This is amazing. And then we know the story well, right? We don't have time to really go into this, but you know the story because Mary gives birth to a baby. And the scripture says she laid him in a manger. No smoke, no fire, no lightning. Seems a little anticlimactic, doesn't it? This glory that you speak of, this God who's coming to earth, we know of the past, and now in the form of a baby, he comes and we lay him in a manger. Do you see it? She had to trust in God's timing. I mean, it was the worst time. Is there a good time? This had to be the worst of times. And how many of you have been going through things lately and you think this is the worst time for this to be happening? We need to trust God's timing, even in difficult times. We need to trust God's word. If what the angel says is true, it changes everything. Isn't that what they said in the skit? It really does. And what about God's power? We know the angel appears and even talks to her about Elizabeth, her cousin, you know, hey, she's expecting too. She was supposed to be barren. And the angel declares those words that we all know so well, verse 37, "For with God nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold the maidservant of your Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I believe in times like this, we have to remember that nothing is impossible for God. Nothing surprises him. Things have been set in motion and written in the book before we ever lived them. We must look at Joseph quickly in the book of Matthew. I don't know how he got the news that Mary was pregnant. I don't know if he heard it by a rumor or if Mary told him. We don't know. but he was troubled by it all. And Matthew declares this for us in verse 18, chapter 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. We know that if he followed what was permitted, she would be stoned to death. But he had a righteous heart, a good heart. For while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. We know later in Luke 2 that the governor sent out a decree. Well, a mandate from the government. Nobody asked them what they thought about it. They didn't file for maybe an exception. You know, my wife's pregnant. Everybody's supposed to go to the town of their birth and get registered. Well, we know the government, what they were really after was tax money. Nothing's really changed, has it? It's still the same. You have to realize, as a pregnant woman, they're 80 miles away from Bethlehem, uphill, 1,500 feet elevation. I can't imagine. I was asking Mike, how long would it take to walk? That'd be like walking to Emporia. How many of you would be signing up for that? Pregnant. We're going to go to Emporia and we're going to walk there. The timing couldn't be worse. But it was God's timing. And it is for what we're going through right now, I can assure you. With all of the things we are having to deal with, we can trust in God's timing. Because he is working and doing things. If we could just open our eyes and see it. And he was doing things in that day, wasn't he? We need to trust in God's word because it remains true. Because God's word is faithful. What he says will come to pass. And all of the prophets, everything. I believe God's going to fulfill the mission that he's called us to do. And lastly, they trusted in the power of God. The plan of God. His sovereignty. His providence. All in motion. It's the same for us today. And the reason God chose Mary and Joseph is the same reason he's going to choose you. And the things that they trusted in, we're going to trust in as well. Amen? So I want you to be encouraged. Even though all those words ring true to you, they also ring true to Mary and Joseph. And they navigated through it. And there's more of the story. It's going to get kind of messy. I mean, yeah, the wise men are going to come. We're going to talk about that Sunday. And then they're going to have to run to Egypt. They're still going to have to trust those three things. Is God's timing still true? Can we trust his word and what the angel said? Is he really powerful enough to pull this off? Will his plan come together? Well, we know it did. And I hope you can find encouragement for that as well today. Amen? Because we're going to trust just like they did. Can I pray with you? Father, I thank you for the opportunity today to come together on this special Christmas Eve. And Lord, we reflect on the life of Mary and Joseph. It's an easy story to read. It was probably much harder to live as they navigated through all the things that were presented to them. Could it be true? And they trusted you, and we want to trust you too. We trust you with your timing. We've been chosen to live in this time and this place. Nobody asked us. Here we are. But you knew it. And we trust your word. And we trust your power. And we trust your plan. Lord, we're not discouraged. We're encouraged. It doesn't mean we're not going to have problems. It doesn't mean we're not going to have to deal with trouble, conflict, disagreements. But Lord, your word remains true and faithful. And so we're going to do those four things we talked about earlier this year. We're going to stand up. We're going to draw near. We're going to bow down. And we're going to get a new perspective, a kingdom perspective. Thank you, Father. We love you and we love each other. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And now we're going to take our candles. In John 8:12, Jesus declared that he is the light of the world. Amen. He said, if you follow me, if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. And as we light our candles tonight, we're lighting them with that understanding that Jesus is the light of the world. That's what John was talking about in John 1. In Matthew 5, Jesus then says something kind of strange. First, he said he's the light of the world. Then you know what he says in Matthew 5? He says, you are the light of the world. Because here's the reality of that. If we receive that light into our life so that we no longer walk in darkness, then the natural response is that we will give that light away to others. Amen? You might think your life's not that significant. But you know, the darker it is in the world, and I hear us always talking about it. Well, you know, things are so bad and it's so dark and so... Yeah, you're right. You are so right. But you know, your little light is pretty powerful when it's dark. And so we're gonna go down the rows and we're going to light your candle with the understanding that we have received that light and we're going to give that light away. Because Jesus said, you're not going to hide it under a bushel, but you're going to put it on a lampstand so it will shine to everyone in the house. And then Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So this Christmas Eve, as we receive the light, we're committing to give that same light away. And we lit it off of that candle because that's where the light came from. Amen? And we don't have to walk in darkness anymore. But we walk in the light, and other people are depending on us to share that same light with them. So receive this light, would you? As we walk down, you'll see how this room lights up. This is how it works. One candle at a time. God bless you. Seeing your candles reminds me of, if you've probably been there in Branson, they have a cave you can go into, like most caves. And one of the things they do when you're in the cave is they turn out the lights. And it's so dark in there, you can't see your hand in front of your face. It reminds me what the prophet said of old, the great darkness will come over the earth, great darkness over the hearts of the people. But arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And I remember that the tour guide then would light a little candle just like you're holding right now. It was amazing. It lit up the whole cavern. But then he did something else. He flipped the lights on. You know, when he did that, I couldn't see that candle anymore. It was there, but I couldn't see it. And I wonder sometimes if in America we have so much light that we lose our effectiveness. I think we need to pray and ask God to let us go into the darkness. Sometimes we kind of stay away from it. We need to move into it, take our lights, and penetrate the darkness and trust God's timing and trust God's word and trust God's power and plan to use you in this moment, in this time, to share the good news. Amen. We're going to ask Marshall to come. He's going to close us in prayer and share a thought with you. I just want to thank you for taking time to come. I hope it was significant to you. We're going to be praying for you. We've just got a few more days left of this year. Are you ready? I'm ready to say goodbye this year. I can tell you that. I don't know what this next year holds, but I know I can trust God's timing. I know I can trust God's word, and I know I can trust his power and plan. Amen. Would you join me in that? Amen. God bless you, Marshall.
In closing tonight, I would like you to think about the shepherds for just a minute. If you look at that beautiful scene up there, there's a few people there, like the shepherds, who didn't have a silent night. They had just came from the angels telling them, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to men. I don't think that was a quiet time. I think that was a loud time. And then they arrived at this beautiful location to hear something like this, maybe. You know, I think that the shepherds probably remembered the words of Isaiah. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and to the government, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. I'm sure they knew that prophecy. I would like you tonight to think about that tomorrow as you're with your families, the excitement that those shepherds had when they left that place that night to tell everyone about what they had seen. The Christ child. In my lifetime, there has never been a time when my neighbors and my fellow co-workers and my family need to hear that message of love, joy, peace. As you spend time with your families tomorrow and for the rest of your lives, share that with everyone you know. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this night. We just ask that you would be with each of us tomorrow. Lord, let your peace fall upon these families, upon this nation, and the whole world, Lord. That's what you came for. And we thank you for that, Lord. We just ask that you would be with each one of these families tomorrow, that they would be an opportunity to share your love with each one of them. Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you for this time. And we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like to say tonight, Merry Christmas. It's a wonderful thing. And thank you all for coming and sharing with us tonight. Amen. Oh, yes. On your way out the doors, there's buckets you can blow your candles out and put in. Thank you very much.